All right, praise the Lord. Well, what I really have to for you today is I do have a message, but what I really have is about like five or six different messages, and all crammed into one. So I'm really going to give you like, you know, five or six different 5 to 10 minute exhortations, and these are just God is speaking so much to me right now. I'd say in the last week or so, especially, I'm just hearing from the Lord regularly so many different things. And so my heart is just excited about what the Lord is doing. I believe he's going to turn around even what we're going through right now, the COVID-19 thing. I think God's going to turn it around and use it for his glory. I really do. In the end. And so I just give him glory for that. And so I've titled the message today, Anointed Ramblings of a Quarantined Man. And so here we go. I want to start off with some testimony, some good news. We had, of course, one of the cool things that was happening this past week was we had two different citywide prayer gatherings on a Zoom call, where people from different churches, just believers in the city, were gathered together on a Zoom call, and we prayed together for our city for an hour. On one of those prayer calls earlier this week, one of the people on the call had requested prayer for her cousin who lived in Puerto Rico, who had been diagnosed with COVID-19 and was a caretaker for others. And so we prayed a quick prayer for her cousin. Well, the next day, she sent this text message. She says, "Thanks for including me on the Zoom call. I wanted to share that one of the prayers last night for my cousin in Puerto Rico, who had tested positive for COVID-19. I asked how she was doing today, and it wasn't fine or okay. It was, I feel fantastic. To me, that answer was from Jesus providing healing." So I just give glory to God. I mean, the prayers, I want to encourage you this. Prayer is not, we do get comforted when we pray, but prayer is not just something to just give us peace when we're feeling anxious. Prayer releases the power of God to affect real live situations. And, you know, the principle of what goes up must come down. It really does work that way with prayer. When the prayers of the saints, we worship the Lord and we pray, God responds to our prayers and he releases power to do the things that he has in his heart to do on the earth. So praise God for that. Another testimony I read this week, I wanted to read it to you. So this was an article posted on, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, but Breitbart.com. So I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. But it's coronavirus patient. God breathed into my lungs and healed me. A coronavirus survivor told his story on Monday's Fox at Night, explaining how he was diagnosed with the virus and struggling to breathe as he declined in the hospital and his lungs rapidly filled with fluid. Everything changed, he said, after God came into his room and breathed into his lungs. Clay Bentley, a retired sheriff's deputy from Georgia, shared the story of his miraculous recovery after a bitter battle with the Chinese coronavirus. He believes he contracted the virus after attending a gathering at the church at Liberty Square in Cartersville, Georgia. He rapidly declined, going to urgent care the next day after struggling to breathe. He was ultimately diagnosed with pneumonia and then sent home. However, he went back to the hospital days later after his condition worsened, and they eventually confirmed that he had contracted the coronavirus. "You know, I was in the hospital for about 12 days. I guess it was around the fifth or sixth day. The doctors told me we tried everything," he explained. "We ran all these antibiotics through you. We've done all these tests," and he said, "You're worse today than you were when you came in the hospital," he continued, noting that the doctor stressed the importance of getting rid of the fluid from his lungs. At that point, Bentley said he heard God tell him, "You're going to be better." "I'm just going to tell you, I heard the voice of the Lord tell me as he was telling me that. He says, you're getting better, you're getting better." And about, I guess it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got to the point where I couldn't even breathe. "And I tell you, I felt like I had a man laying on my chest, and the weight of this man was so heavy that he was taking my breath," Bentley said. "I mean, it was like I couldn't even breathe," he said. "And then all of a sudden, I felt air blown into my lungs, and I know as a believer that God was there with me. and he began to blow air in my lungs, and I took a deep breath. Bentley said the doctor came in the next morning and informed him that he had hardly any fluid left in his lungs and asked him if he was a praying man. I love that. Well, here's the end of the story. The doctor came in the next morning and checked me, and he said, yesterday you were worse than you've ever been, and I come in here today, and you don't have hardly any fluid in your lungs at all. And he asked me, he said, I just want to ask you if you're a praying man. And I said, yes, sir, I pray. I pray constantly, he explained. And he said, the doctor said, well, I have found in my practice when people pray, that positive energy causes the body to begin to heal itself. And I said, you can believe that if you want to, but I'm telling you, God came in my room last night and healed me. Amen. I love that testimony so much. And so I just want to encourage you, God responds to your prayers when you're praying for healing for people, etc. So I want to share those testimonies. And then this is the second rambling of this quarantine man. Blessed are those who mourn. You know, God has already told us in his word, and this is going to be repeat of stuff, you know, I've shared already several times, but I want to keep repeating it because this is what we need to be giving ourselves to right now, and I want to keep it before you. God has already told us in his word, we already know as followers of Jesus, we know what we're supposed to do when pestilence is in the land. Because God's already told us in his word what we're supposed to do. And he says in 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, he says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague, a pestilence, among my people. That's what we're dealing with right now. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, here's what God will do. I'm telling you, what goes up must come down. He says, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so I just want to be encouraging you to continue giving yourself to prayer and to humbling yourself before the Lord and just say, God, search my heart, O God, and see if there's any contrite way to me. And then just turn away from sin and lean into righteousness and draw near to the Lord right now, and God's going to respond. So last Saturday, I shared this last Sunday, but I want to share it again today. Last Saturday night, the Lord spoke to me. And he dropped this verse in my heart. He says, blessed are those who mourn. And he was calling me into fasting for the end of the coronavirus and the birthing of the third great awakening and the Jesus movement we want to see. We're believing God to see 6 million people saved in our 5-state region, 80% of all the people in Huron radically saved, full of the Holy Spirit, and serving the Lord in healthy churches. We want to see 80 million new believers come forth in the United States of America in this awakening, and we want to send out at least 200,000 missionaries to unreached people groups throughout the earth, in inner cities and universities around the land to complete the Great Commission. So God was calling me. He says, Jeff, blessed are those who mourn. He was calling me into fasting to see these things happen. And so I asked the Lord, I said, God, for confirmation, I want to do this, but I want confirmation. Would you speak to me tonight if you want me to do this? So that night, the Lord gave me a dream. And in the dream, I saw two newspaper headlines. I saw there were several things happening in the dream, but the main thing was I saw two newspaper headlines. And the first newspaper headline said, entire gang surrenders. And it was the feature article on the front page of a newspaper in a certain city. And then what had happened is this entire gang in this city had all at once got radically saved and given their lives to Jesus. And together, they walked to the police station and turned themselves in for, I guess, crimes previously committed. And it was this news story that people were talking about in the community. They're like, what is happening? That like this whole gang is getting radically saved. Their life is totally transformed. Like, what is going on? And then immediately I saw a second headline that said, Evangivirus sweeps the nation. And it was a play on words. It was short for evangelism virus. And in the same way that the coronavirus has now captured the attention of our nation and really the world, People are thinking about it every day. It's affecting our everyday lives in dramatic ways. It's all over media, social media. I believe that the Lord was telling me, he says, Jeff, I believe that the coronavirus is going to fade away, and the new story that's going to capture the attention of a nation is the evangelism virus that sweeps the whole nation. And they're going to be like, why is everybody talking about Jesus everywhere? I mean, all over social media, all over the media even, they're covering it. And why are people, so many people getting saved and giving their life to Jesus? And I really believe we are coming into a great awakening in the United States, but far more than the United States. It's going to affect the nations of the earth. And I'm so excited for that. And so I woke up from that dream and I'm like, I'm in, Lord. Help me to enter into your spiritual morning to see the ending of the coronavirus and the birthing of the evangelivirus in our nation. And then also in that dream, I saw a family member of mine who does not serve the Lord right now. And I saw them, they were saved. And they had a ministry. And they had come into their ministry. And I believe one of the promises God was showing me, he's like, in this harvest that's coming, and I believe this in my heart. This is my conviction. I believe it's starting in 2020. I really do believe that. And so we'll see if that's right or not. That's my conviction. But I believe we're going to see it start in 2020. And I believe that part of these 6 million saved in our region and the 80 million saved in our nation, they won't all get saved this year, but I believe it's going to start this year. That harvest is going to begin this year. I believe part of that is going to be our lost, our unsaved family members that we've been praying for years. And I believe that's what God was showing me in that dream. He says, your family members are going to be part of this harvest. Not only that, in the dream he showed me, they became one of the harvesters. They came in, not only saved, they came into the kingdom and were leading others to the Lord. So I want to encourage you with that. And then just yesterday, a good friend of mine, Pastor Tom Brantner from Restoration Church in Huron, he sent me this text message. And he told me this is this, and it was a Facebook post from his oldest sister, and this is what his oldest sister texted or messaged on her Facebook page. She said, "I normally don't put personal stuff like this on Facebook, but today I feel it is necessary for me and all of you. Today I rededicated my life to Jesus. It may have took a pandemic for me to realize that I don't want to die, but I really don't want to die without knowing where I'm going. I hope this message inspires all of you to examine your own hearts and lives and know that I'll be praying for you." I'm telling you, even God's going to even use this coronavirus to get people thinking about eternity and to get people. People are so distracted. I share the gospel with people all the time, and people are so distracted by life and their and the entertainment and the sports and their jobs and their school and their activities and on and on and on and on and on that nobody hardly ever just takes the time to think about their soul and think about eternity. That is changing, and people are going to be turning to the Lord. And then on that very same thread in the comments below, Tom sent me this. His cousin, who said this, she says, "I am with you. Thank you for taking the first step for me to follow." So even his cousin was like following the lead of his oldest sister and says, "Yes, I'm rededicating my life to Jesus too." And so I just think that was evidence of the harvest is already beginning, and our family members, I believe, are going to be included in that. So I want you to be encouraged by that testimony. All right, anointed rambling number three. Give God your full attention. So, you know, I'm all pumped up after that dream on Sunday, and I'm like, I want to give myself to intercession. I'm going to set time aside. I want to pray more than usual. And there's like moments when I feel stirred up in my spirit, and I'm like, I'm just praying. But then there's like more moments than those when I don't necessarily feel stirred up, and I'm fasting. And I remember it was earlier this week, I was like trying to pray. I was just trying to stir up prayer, you know, and intercession in me. But to be honest, it wasn't working very well. And but I was trying. And I was kind of frustrated. And I noticed I was just feeling a tremendous amount of anxiety. So I just stopped interceding. And I was like, God, why do I feel? Give me your peace. why am I feeling so much anxiety right now? And I haven't been feeling it all the time, but just I was intensely feeling it at that moment when I was trying to make myself, you know, God help me to get force myself into spiritual mourning. I'm like, why do I feel so anxious? And then, to be honest, I didn't really hear him answer anything right away. And so I was just exasperated, and I was like, well, you know, I was kind of feeling like, I don't feel like I'm very anointed at praying right now, and I don't feel like my intercession is especially anointed right now, but whatever, here I am. I mean, I'm fasting, I'm just going to keep reading the Bible. And this is what I told him. I says, well, you have my full attention at least. And then at that moment is when I sensed him speaking. And I really had this sense as soon as I said that to him, he's like, that's all I want. That's all I want. When I call you to fast, what I'm doing is I'm calling you to stop and give me your full attention. Just sit at my feet, look at me, gaze upon my beauty, and let me have your full attention, your undivided heart. And then this is what he was encouraging me, he says, with, and I just want you to give me your full attention. And when I'm in those moments when I'm ready to stir you up and help you enter into spiritual mourning where you're crying out in intercession, he says, I'll stir you up. And that's what I've been feeling at different times. You know, there'd be times I feel the anointing on me for intercession. And he's like, but other than that, just sit at my feet and give me your full attention. And I just want to read this scripture to you. Luke 10:38-42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary, here it is, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. That's what it's like when we just sit in a chair, open our Bible, and read it. You're doing what Mary did. You're just sitting at his feet, giving him your full attention, listening to his voice. He talks to you through his word. Or when you just sit there or stand there, wherever, you can be anywhere, and just turn your attention to him and say, God, I love you. And you're listening to him. You're giving him your full attention. It's really simple. And then he said, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. And she came to Jesus and said, and honestly, to be honest with you, I feel like I've had a lot of Martha moments over the last 2 weeks. even as I've been self-quarantined in my house, and I'm kind of like, I want to do something. I want to be productive. You know, I should make another video, or maybe I should, I'm like, what can I do? Maybe I should work on a book that I'm writing or do something. And most of the time when I start doing that, I haven't really felt the anointing. And so I'm like, okay, so I stopped doing it. I'm like, God, you know, I don't want to just produce something in the flesh. I'm like, God, what am I going to do? I want to be productive. And he's like, Jeff, this is a season right now. This is a type of Sabbath rest for you. He's like, I want you to sit at my feet. Just give me your full attention. And I'll stir you up to write when it's time to write. I'll give you a message when it's time to speak. I will stir you up to pray when it's time to pray. All you have to do, you don't have to be in anxiety. You don't have to like work yourself up. All you need to do is just sit at my feet. Give me your full attention. Trust me, I've got you. And I'm going to do this thing. And so I want to just share that with you because anyway, you're welcome. She came to Jesus. Martha did, and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, and I really want you to get this, my dear Martha, I mean, he loves Martha. He's like, Martha, I really, really love you a lot. I mean, I like you. I love your cooking. I mean, I'm sure he loved her cooking. I'm just going to say, he went to her house a lot. Like, he really liked her house. It was one of his favorite places to hang out. So he's like, I really like you, but listen, you are worried and upset over many things, over all these details. He's like, here's the problem, though, right now. He's like, I care about you more than I care about your food. I care about you more than I care about what you're producing for me. And I'm telling you, what's concerning me right now is that you're so anxious. You're so worried and upset. He's like, listen, stop. He's like, your sister, he says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I'm not going to take it away from her. He's like, listen, he's like, actually, right now, you're so anxious. I'll be okay with the meal. Just why don't you just sit down beside your sister and let your heart be at rest? And I just want to encourage you with that, because there is a if you're feeling anxious, when you find yourself feeling anxious and you just feel heightened anxiety, I really believe that it doesn't matter, like, when you're, whether you're in a pandemic or life as normal, like the key to living for God and the key to abiding in His presence it's and being successful, it's all the same. It's like we always have to come back to, like, give Him our full attention. If you're feeling anxious, just sit at His feet, give Him your attention. And you don't, and here's, I want to say this too with that. Sometimes, you know, when you're anxious, it's like, okay, I'm going to go to the Lord and He's going to give me peace and I'm not going to feel anxious. But then we're so anxious when we're sitting in front of Him. It's like we're sitting there and I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be anxious. I feel peace. I feel peace. And it's like, and the Lord's like, just, you don't have to make it happen. Like, peace is what comes when you hear the voice of the Lord. It brings peace with it. It imparts faith when you hear His voice. And so you don't even have to, like, I feel anxious. I'm going to make myself not be anxious. Like, you can't make yourself not be anxious, but you can give Him your attention and say, God, take my anxiety. What do you want to say to me? And then just keep reading the word until something touches your heart. And be encouraged if nothing touches your heart. If you read the word for an hour and it's like, well, now I've got to go take care of my kids, and it's like nothing really touched my heart, just know you just sat at the Lord's feet. It's going to be okay. Like, His voice is going to be coming to you. You're going to be hearing it. And just get into that rhythm of life where you're sitting at His feet. And so I really want to encourage you right now to turn off the media, sit at Jesus' feet, give Him your full attention, read the Bible, listen to His voice. Only one thing is needed. Anointed rambling number four. Here it comes. I want to really, really encourage you to be gracious and merciful toward community and government leaders. And, you know, whether it's the governor or the mayor or the city commission or the superintendent of schools or teachers or police or sheriff or whoever it may be, the president of the United States, you know, like earlier this week, you know, I heard someone just talking about how, just frustration about, like, there's not enough tests or whatever, you know, or somebody should be doing different or whatever. And this is what I said. This is what I thought. I just thought, you know what? I just have grace on those leaders. They're doing the best that they can. And I just want to encourage you this. We need to be merciful. Because we need mercy. And our government leaders, I'm so thankful for Governor Noem. I'm so thankful for our superintendent of schools, Terry Nebelsek. I'm so thankful for our city commission. I'm so thankful for, like, leaders who are doing the best that they can. Here's the truth. Nobody, none of them have ever led through anything like this ever. This is a first-time experience. And here's the truth. None of their predecessors who were in office before them have ever led through something like this. And so they don't even have, like, an example necessarily to follow of what worked in a previous season when this happened. This is brand new territory. And no matter how much they prepare ahead of time for a pandemic and a crisis of this magnitude, there's one thing, you can prepare and prepare, but game experience is a whole nother thing. You know, then you get in the game and it's actually happened. You're like, oh, well, this didn't work like I thought it would. So let's make adjustments. And I just want to encourage you to be thankful for our government leaders, for your pastors, even for your church leaders. Be thankful for them. Pray for them. Here's the truth. They're human beings. They're just like you. Now think about tired and weary that they're probably feeling at this point. It's been weeks every single day, they are being pulled on to make dramatic decisions that people before them never even had to make. And that affect a lot of people. And they want to do the right thing. They want to do the right thing. And every day, they're having to make another drastic decision. And that's going to affect a ton of people, and some people will agree with them, and a whole, no matter what decision they make, a lot of people will complain. Imagine how that would take its toll on you. They're just like, imagine how you would feel if you had to lead. I mean, I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not the president or the governor right now. I mean, that is hard. Just the leadership experience I do have, I'm like, I kind of feel a little bit of what it's like when you have to make an important decision. I can't imagine what they're going through right now. So I want to encourage you, they're battling anxiety too, many of them, the same things, except they have to do it, you know, try to keep a straight face and be courageous and yet be honest to everybody. And so I want to encourage you, don't complain, like zero complaining about our civic leaders. Instead, I want you to pray for them. I want you to hold their hands up in prayer. I want you to bless them. Don't criticize them. They probably will not do everything perfect because they're human beings, just like we would not do everything perfect. So be gracious and merciful when they do things that are not right. Make their job easier and not harder. Hold their hands up in prayer. And I just want to read this scripture, Titus 3, verse 1 through 2. I really want you to hear this verse. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must, listen to this, they must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Like, don't get into the group of people that are just like complaining about this person leader, complaining about this leader. Like, get out of that group of people. You don't want to be caught slandering these people, and you don't want to get into arguments with other people. Like, I think they're doing the right thing. Are you crazy? They're not doing the right thing. They're doing wrong. They should be doing this. It's like, Paul's like, guys, don't slander anyone and avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Like, let's be the kind of person that, like, that our leaders, if they knew us, they would be like, I wish every citizen was like you. I wish every citizen was like you. Even though if we don't agree with every decision that they make, the way, if they would say, the way that you honor me and you care about me and you pray for me and you're gracious and merciful toward me as I do my best, man, I wish everyone was like you. And so I'm going to tell you, be that kind of a citizen. That is a way that we can glorify God in this hour. Anointed rambling. Oh, no, I'm not done. I'm still anointed rambling number four. I'm on the same thing because I forgot. I added in a few things I want to say on that. Here's what I want to say. I want you to lean into loving people well in this season. And I want you to make up your mind to resist every negative thought about people. Any person, if it's a negative thought about them, if it's a complaining, accusing, critical thought, just say, I'm taking that thought captive and I cast it out in the name of Jesus. I'm going to honor this person. I want to encourage you, resist every single negative thought about a person, a leader, a family member, and even about the situation with COVID-19. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't still use discernment. It doesn't mean that, you know, if I see a person, you know, the way I love people, one of the ways we love people is I'm going to resist every negative thought. I'm going to push it out of my mind. It doesn't mean I don't use discernment and I don't make honest evaluations based upon facts. So for example, you know, as a parent, if I know somebody has a history of being a child abuser, I'm not going to let them babysit my child, okay? Because I'm using wisdom, I'm using discernment. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I don't think that would be a wise choice. I'm facing the facts. You've been a child abuser, and so I don't want to trust you with that. And so we make honest evaluations and choices. But here's the deal. Even in that situation, I don't want to lock that person in my mind like, this is who you are. You are a child abuser. You'll always be a child abuser. And I just have them like locked into this box condemned in my mind, because you know what? God can change anyone. And I want to be like, hey, you know, this is the facts right now, so I'm not going to trust you with my child. But you know what? I love you, and I'm believing for God to change you and work in your life and do miracles. And so this is a key to loving people well, is that I say, I'm not going to sit here and dwell on all the negative stuff about you. Even though I may acknowledge something that's true if I have to make a decision, like in that situation, still, I love you. I'm hoping for the best. I'm believing for the best. Really, it comes down to this. It's like, ask God, say, God, help me to see what you see in this person. And help me to feel about them the way you feel about them. Give me your heart for them and give me your perspective. Because no matter what perspective you're looking from, you're only seeing one little angle of the totality of who this person is. And God sees all of who they are. Say, God, let me see what you see and feel what you feel about this person. And don't criticize, don't complain, but pray and honor. And I really believe that those who lean into that, God's going to raise them up and bless them. Okay, now, anointed rambling number 5. Look for people to serve in this season. Look for people to, you know what? Serving keeps us joyful. It really does. When we get out of serving, what ends up happening is we become more and more focused on ourselves. And the more focused on ourselves we are, the less happy we are. That's just a fact of life. If you want to stay happy in this season, if you're focused on like, man, I can't get together with my friends, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. If you're just focused on like all that you can't do, you're just focused on self. Instead, be like, God, who can I serve today? Who can I bless today? And you know what? If you just start leaning into serving intentionally, God's going to give you ideas of a way you can be a blessing. And I encourage you, start with your own household. Be a blessing in your family. You know, I'm thinking of like kids and like do chores that no one even asks you to do. Just be like, I'm going to go and I'm going to totally clean this room and no one's going to ask me. And I'm not even going to bring it up and get credit for it. I'm just going to do it because I know it'd be a blessing to my parents. Or go on and get some of your own ideas. You know, who can I bless? And if you lean into serving, actually, you'll find your joy level will be rising along with your serving level. And then the last anointed rambling of this quarantined man is I want you to lean into generosity in this season. You know, one of the, you know, fear is evil. We do not yield to fear. I hate fear. I don't want to be afraid of anything. I don't want to be afraid of the coronavirus. I don't want to be afraid of people. I don't want to be afraid of poverty or the fear of lack or that I'm not going to have enough money, whatever it would be. And so we want to war against fear. Now, it is not a sin to feel the emotion of fear. That happens to everybody at different times. You find ourselves in a situation and we're like, whoa, this looks dangerous. And we kind of start feeling anxiety, a little bit of fear there. But it's what we do at that moment that matters. If we just accept that and just say, and we yield to it, and we just allow ourselves to stay in that place, that is when I think it becomes a sin at that point. What we need to do is say, Lord, I turn to you. Take away my fear. I trust you. Take away my fear. Because fear is the opposite of faith. You cannot walk in faith and be in fear at the same time. You cannot walk in faith and simultaneously be in fear. And that's why it's like fear is so costly. Because when you're not walking in faith, you're going to miss out on so many things that God wanted to do through you. And here's another thing. The opposite of that is when you're walking out of fear, you'll make poor decisions. When you're making decisions out of fear, you'll probably always make the wrong choice. It will probably always work out not good for you. So you want to say, God, get me into the place of faith. And I think one of the places of faith we need to be is, of course, we've talked about this a lot. You know, we don't want to be afraid of the coronavirus. We trust the Lord. You know, God, be our protector. And And we trust the Lord ultimately in what the promises of the scriptures say. It's as a follower of Jesus, when I'm walking with him, it's impossible for me to die until it's his time for me to die. So like, God, you're in control of my life. The devil's not in control of my life. You're in control of my life. I follow you and give you my full attention. And it's impossible for me to go until you say it's time. And so that gives me rest and it strengthens my faith. But this other area of fear is the fear of lack. And I think that's another thing, as businesses are shut down, as some people are laid off of their jobs because of it. It's like, I don't have my income, or how am I going to pay my bills, or whatever it may be. And so here's the problem. When people are in fear, the fear of lack, what they do is they tend to hoard things to themselves. Because the problem with it is, when we're in fear of lack, we start thinking it's entirely up to me to provide for myself. And that's a lie. And actually, that's a common thing in America. They're like, you know, if it's to be, it's up to me, right? But biblically, that's not entirely true. There is some truth in that statement. We have a role to play to partner with the Holy Spirit, but that's not the entirety of the statement. The truth is, it's not my responsibility to provide for me. It's God, the Father's responsibility to provide for me. My job is to give him my full attention and do what he says. Okay? And he may give me a job, or he may provide this way or that way. He has billions of different ways he can provide. And he's such a good father, he's going to take care of you. And when we get into hoarding things, that's usually a sign that we're operating in a fear of lack. Now, I'm not talking about like saving. You know, saving is biblical, et cetera. But generosity is the cure for the fear of lack. When you're giving toward others, even when you're feeling a little bit of that fear of lack, it's like, you know what, I'm going to give. And even as you give, you're kind of nervous about it. That's okay. You're actually resisting the spirit of fear by giving. That's truth. You're like, I am not going to hoard this. I'm giving it because the Lord is my provider. And actually, your giving, your generosity, is an act of faith. God, I trust you. You're my provider. And so you're going to provide, and not only for my needs, but you're going to provide so that I can be a blessing and help meet the needs of other people too. That's the promise of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that God gives. And so that promise holds true in every season. It doesn't matter if you're in a crisis or just life as usual. The promise that God is going to take care of you and give you enough so you can be a blessing to others, it remains the same at all times. And so I encourage you, lean into generosity. He will not fail you. God is your provider. Be a giver. And so I want to read a scripture, two scriptures. Check this out. Psalm 37, 25. Listen to this. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. You know, the psalmist, he's just stating a fact. He's like, guys, I'm an old man, lived a long time now, and I'm going to tell you something that I've observed. Not once have I ever seen righteous people forsaken or their children begging for bread. God always takes care of righteous people. It's just the fact. It's just the way it is. And you can bank on that. You can trust in that. Proverbs 11, 24 through 26 says this. Give freely, listen to this, and become more wealthy. Isn't that interesting? That seems the opposite of what the world would tell you. God says, give freely, and the result is you're going to get more blessed. You're going to get more wealthy. And then he says this. Listen to the converse statement of it. Be stingy and lose everything. Isn't that interesting? God's like, you give generously, you'll get more. Then he says this. But if you're stingy and you try to hold on to it because of the fear of lack, you'll actually end up losing everything. It's like, that doesn't seem to make sense to our natural mind, but it does according to God's economy. Verse 25, the very next verse says, the generous will prosper. I love this phrase. Listen, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You know, in a season when it's like, God, I need you to provide for me right now. I don't know where my next paycheck's coming from. God, I need your mercy. It's like, I would highly recommend, this is the opportune moment to be generous. It's like, well, I don't really have any extra money. It's like, what do you have? Can you serve somebody? You know, do you have like, extra some extra food that you could give to somebody who doesn't have it or whatever. God will give you. Say, God, what can I give? How can I be generous? God will give you ideas and then do it. Your joy will increase. Your faith will increase. You'll see the miraculous provision of God increase in your life, and that will cause your faith and to increase and your anxiety to leave. Verse 26 says this, people curse those who hoard their grain, but they bless the one who sells in time of need. Now, here's what's going on in this scripture. There's a crisis in the land. There's a lack of grain. People need food. There are people going hungry everywhere. This is what this scripture is talking about. There's people all around in society that are going hungry, but there's this one guy who has like an enormous surplus of grain. And he's like, "Woo! I got a lot of grain. This is good. I'm going to make sure or take care of myself. I'm going to save it all. I know everybody's dying all around me. People are starving and they need grain, but I'm afraid if I start giving away some of mine, I mean, what if this famine goes on longer and longer and I'm going to need that extra?" And it says here, it's like the people of the city are cursing this man for his selfishness. They're like, "You're going to let everybody else die just to preserve yourself." And it's the opposite spirit of the people of God. And it says, but they bless the one who sells in time of need. But if he's like, "You know what? I trust the Lord is going to provide for me. Give me this day my daily bread. I don't need bread for 1,000 days from now. I just need today's bread." Okay? And so if you be generous. It doesn't mean that you don't save. You'd be led by the Spirit on that, but we want to always be willing to give in a time of need. And listen, we're experiencing that a little bit in this coronavirus thing that's going on in the world. There are people that are in need, and how can I be generous? I want to be one who's being a blessing to other people and giving. This is the kind of person I want to be in a crisis. And I'm going to tell you this, there are far more extreme crises that are going to be coming upon the earth before Jesus returns. And this is an opportunity for us to work this muscle in this significant shaking that we're feeling right now. Say, make a quality choice. I resolve in my heart in moments like this, when given the choice to hoard and be selfish or give generously, I'm going to be the type of person that gives generously. And you do that in this season, and when the next season like this comes, you'll be able to draw strength from what happened before. Nope, I already established it in the last season. I'm a generous person. I give. I would rather die being generous than live being selfish. Because, you know, even now we look back on history in times of crisis, and the heroes we celebrate are the ones who sacrificially served others above themselves and put Jesus and his kingdom above their own needs. And God says this, Jesus says this, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things," talking about food, clothing, shelter, "will be given to you." Amen? So lean into generosity. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have my wife come up. I want to ask you, for those of you listening who don't know Jesus, you don't know Jesus right now. And I'm not talking about like, "I kind of grew up in church, I know about Jesus." I mean, do you know him? And you know that you know him because because you hear his voice and because you obey his word. Like, you actually have times when you're like, "Okay, I feel like God told me to do this. This is what he said in the word that we need to do in this situation. And so I'm going to do it. And even though it might be costly sometimes, I'm a follower of Jesus, so I'm going to obey what he says anyway." And I want to ask you, this is an opportune moment for you to give your life to Jesus. Everything the Bible says that can be shaken is going to be shaken. The economies of the world are going to be rocked. And people all over the world, they trust in their bank account. They trust in their economy. They trust in the government to bail them out. They trust in the government to feed them and to provide for them. Whatever it may be, all those false sense of security, it's going to be dismantled by the shakings that are coming upon the earth. But those who know the Lord, God is their provider and his kingdom. He cannot be shaken. Doesn't matter how bad the crisis is, he's going to take care of you. Doesn't matter how big the hardship is that you're having to go through, he's going to walk through it with you. He's going to give you strength to go through it. He's going to give you strength to glorify him in the midst of the struggle. He's going to protect you. There's going to be healing. And there's this, like, God is faithful. This, you want to give your life to Jesus. And just like I read in that Facebook post earlier from Tom's older sister, she realized, she's like, I don't want to die. She goes, but I especially don't want to die without knowing where I'm going. Like, do you know where you're going? So many people just assume, oh, you know, I think most people, unless they're like a Hitler or super bad person, everybody pretty much ends up in heaven somehow. That is a lie. The only people that end up in heaven are those who follow Jesus and have as their number one priority in their life. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. And they hear his voice, they give attention to him, and they follow him with everything, no matter what the cost. Those are the most joyful people on the earth, and those are the people who will live forever with him in his kingdom. Everybody else will be in hell for all eternity. Death is not an escape from pain. You know, it's like people who are suffering on the earth, and they die, and it's like, well, at least they're in a better place. Well, if they knew Jesus, they are. But if they didn't know Jesus, it's far worse for them than it was before they died. No matter how much they were suffering before they died, they are suffering far more in hell. And they'll never stop because they made their choice in life. They made their choice that they're going to do what they wanted to do rather than do what God wanted them to do. Their priority in their life was themselves and not the Lord. Listen, I'm believing God for divine protection from coronavirus. I believe in God. You know, I praise him for the protection he's given me. But you know what? I'm not afraid to die. I am not afraid to die. To be truthful, I want to live because I have things burning in my heart. I want to do stuff with Jesus here on the earth. But you know what? I'm actually looking forward to death when the time comes because I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I'm looking forward to being with God. I'm looking forward to seeing my relatives who knew Jesus, who are already there waiting for me. Heaven is a real place. People are really alive there. They have smiles on their faces. They have faces. They talk. They love one another. They hug one another. You know, they have fun together. They eat great food. They delight in life. It's real, real life. Death is not something to be feared if you know Jesus. But if you don't know Jesus, you should fear it. But the good news is this. You can come to know him. Jesus, the only thing that keeps you out of a relationship with God is your own disobedience, your own sin. But Jesus died on the cross to remove your sin. Sin is like a wall, a barrier that separates you and God. And it's so high, it's like no matter how high you jump, you can never even get close to climbing over it to get to him. But the good news is this, is that Jesus came and did what you could not do. He crushed the wall. He crushed your sins. He bore it on the cross and he removed the wall out of its place. And now there's this open opportunity access. You can come to God if you'll leave your disobedience, your rebellion, and walk to him, come to him. Say, Jesus, I love you. I believe that you are God. Thank you for removing my sins. I'm going to live for you from this moment forward for the rest of my life, not only until this crisis ends, but when coronavirus is gone and it's yesterday's news, I'm going to keep living for you. When life is going normal again, I'm going to keep seeking you, giving you my full attention, and obeying you and following you. I encourage you, give your life to Jesus right now. And Holy Spirit, I just release your presence right now to draw people to salvation. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Amen. And Lord, I just speak blessing over James River Church. I declare that the Lord will bless you with peace, that the Lord will give you grace to give him your full attention, that the Lord would bless you to remove all anxiety and all fear and to give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus that the provision of the Lord would come in, that the protection of the Lord is operating in you and your family. I bless you to be fruitful and to win souls and make disciples of Jesus and glorify God with your life. And I bless you that your joy would be full. And I bless you that you would even come out of this this pandemic when it's all said and done, that you will come out of it closer to God, stronger in your relationship with him, and closer to your family than ever before. God, I pray that you'd release grace even to heal and strengthen marriages during this time. Turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers. Draw parents and kids together as they're getting to spend time together. Lord, touch them, bless them, bring restoration. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's my wife.
Hey, I just wanted, as we close here, I want to encourage you. We've moved almost everything online now. We're not doing anything in person in the whole church.